Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You guys are buds from your FS1 moments together. And
right.
This guy has very quickly...
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's got a thick skin, so it doesn't bother him, but he's very quickly has become public enemy here in Colorado because he has the Broncos going 3-13. Ladies and gentlemen, public enemy number one, Nick Wright from FS1. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, Mike, Stink, how's it going? Real quick, before we get started, in preparation for this interview, I looked back at my predictions. I looked back at my rankings, all 256 games picked for the year. And upon further inspection on the Broncos, that 3-13 might have to be revised to 3-12-1. I think maybe where I gave them a loss at the New York Jets, maybe they can pull out a tie. So hey, don't hold me to the 3-13. They might have a tie in there somewhere, but I appreciate you guys having me on.
Nick, always good to catch up, and I know you're a huge Chiefs fan. Congratulations on the Super Bowl. It pains me to have to say that, but I just have to ask this question. Why do you hate the Broncos?
I don't hate the Broncos. For as many really, really good teams, there usually have to be that many really, really bad teams. And my question for you guys would be, what is the reason that the Broncos should be good? I can't find it. Now, maybe you guys think Drew Locke or the audience thinks Drew Locke is going to be awesome. I watched Drew Locke at the University of Missouri. I think Drew Locke played well enough, particularly in one game against Houston last year when he took over for Flacco. But he's going to have the typical non-first-round, non-star quarterback, first-year starter pains. I don't think, as much as I like Jerry Jeudy, I don't think that offense is going to take the massive leap from 28th total ranked offense, 28th passing offense, 28th scoring offense. So I like the addition of AJ Bouye, but where are they supposed to be great? I don't see it.
What about the rest of the division? I mean, you know, you look at the division, obviously Kansas City is the cream of the crop, but how do you feel they match up against the Chargers and the Raiders and the off seasons that all three of those teams have? How do you look at the rest of the division?
Listen, I agree with you. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the division by a wide margin. I think the Raiders actually could be pretty decent, and I like the Raiders into their schedule, home for the Colts, home for the Chargers, home for the Dolphins, and then in Denver in week 17. I think the Raiders potentially could win 9 games and make the postseason. I think the Chargers have 2 super-duper stars on defense, 3 if you include Melvin Ingram. I like their receivers. I have enormous concern about their quarterback spot because I think they're going to give the car keys to Justin Herbert and earlier rather than stick with Tyrod. And I think I wouldn't have taken Herbert with the 26th pick, much less the 6th pick. But I like their coach, and I like their personnel aside from their quarterback. So I don't think there's another great team in the division. I don't think you're dealing with a situation like the NFC North might be, like the NFC West is, where you have multiple really good teams. But I just think the Broncos are poised to be the worst team in the division, and if there's another playoff team, I actually think it's going to be Chucky's Raiders.
Nick Wright from FS1 is joining us. He has the Broncos going 3-13 this year. The 4-1 finish with Locke last year, that didn't resonate with you at all? That wasn't a sign of brighter things to come?
No, I mean, not if I'm being honest. I thought it was nice that in week 17, I felt badly for Vic Fangio in his first year as a head coach. It felt like every single week early in the season, you guys were losing in the absolute most heartbreaking fashion. Early in the year, I don't have your schedule in front of me, but just based on my own gambling with you guys, I feel like you started 1-4 and could have been 4-1 or at least 3-2 if a couple things had gone differently. And it was nice that in week 17, you didn't have one of those stomach punch goes against you when you guys won that game on a The Raiders went for two, if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm almost certain I am because I think I had your beloved Broncos in a money line parlay that weekend, and so I was holding on for dear life in that game. But no, it doesn't resonate with me because I actually think quarterbacks such as Locke are more likely to be successful in their first four starts than they are in their next 14 starts. It feels to me like we have a lot of evidence of guys. Kyle Allen last year was one of these guys who very, very early they have some success, and then they regress to who they're actually going to be, particularly once guys get film on them. And I also think this is a massive flashing red light for the Broncos. They weren't unlucky last year turnover-wise. In fact, they were very lucky. Only five teams had fewer turnovers than you guys. The Saints, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Ravens. The five best teams in football. So you guys didn't turn the ball over hardly at all, and you still struggled. What's going to happen this year where with a second-year quarterback, you do turn the ball over more, you do have worse fumble luck. What's going to happen in that regard? I feel like that's going to regress, and that's going to be problematic.
What did you see out of Vic Fangio, like your likes and dislikes in Vic Fangio's first year?
Well, from a personality standpoint, I really like him. I think he seems like one of the few NFL head coaches that might actually instinct, you maybe have done this, but actually seems like a guy who you actually could have a conversation with, could hang out with, have a drink with, and he seems like he'd be a real three-dimensional person, not just like a numbers guy and not just a guy who thinks he's dealing with the nuclear codes. I do, though, I feel like you, and again, if the audience thinks I'm speaking out of turn, it's fair, but because you guys obviously watch your team far closer than I watch the Denver Broncos, it felt like some of those early season losses for the Broncos, he had some very questionable in-game coaching decisions. And I get it. He's been a coordinator his whole career. So maybe he will learn from that and move on from that and be better in year two. But it felt to me like there were a lot of kind of almost early Andy Reid, Andy's turned into one of the greatest coaches of his generation. But it's like, oh my God, how is this what's happening at the end of these games? So you'd have to hope he learns from that. Obviously, his players like him, and obviously he's going to have his defense with a defense that I think should be pretty damn good, a defense ready to play each and every week. I just think that offense in Denver's going to stink.
Nick Wright from FS1. Let me ask you about your Chiefs. Do you see a team that is ready to go on a Patriot-type run here for a decade or more, or do you have any concerns about, hey, once they pay Mahomes, will they be able to, you know, round out the roster to still be able to win Super Bowls? Where do you see the Chiefs, now that they got one in the bank, where do you see them moving forward?
Well, listen, full disclosure, I would have bet my entire net worth, which at the time was actually probably negative, so I don't know if anyone would have taken the bet, in 2013 that the Seahawks were going to win multiple Super Bowls. They had a great quarterback, which I was right about, an excellent supporting cast, and I thought they were poised for a little mini dynasty. And I know some people would say, well, they were a yard away from winning multiple Super Bowls. That's true, but they were also in the NFC Championship game in year two, down 12 points, and didn't have the ball with 4.5 minutes left. And it took an amazing confluence of events for them to even make another Super Bowl, which is to say, doing what the Patriots did is almost impossible. Doing even half of what the Patriots did is almost impossible. And the NFL's made it harder by restricting the buys. The last three dynasties we've had, the Patriots in the 10s, the Patriots in the aughts, and the Cowboys in the 90s, all of them had a bye each and every one of their Super Bowl championship years. I don't know, do the Broncos with Stink count as a dynasty? I don't know, do two in a row count? If they do, they obviously won their first
the best
game without
best 3-year record in the history of the NFL, but who's counting?
Okay, there you go. All right, fair enough. So then you guys would be the one outlier team that actually, of those dynasties, did one of the Super Bowls without a bye. The Chiefs, the NFL removing one of the byes, I think works against the Chiefs. I'm not worried about paying Mahomes, though. Mahomes is the best player in the league by a massive margin. And if the going rate for, you can't look at it, let's say he costs $45 million. Okay, let's just say it's that high of a number. If Kirk Cousins costs $33 million, would you rather have Kirk Cousins and a really, really good tight end, or Patrick Mahomes? Would you rather have right now Russell Wilson and a Pro Bowl, and I think Russell Wilson is the second best quarterback in football, and a Pro Bowl right guard, or Patrick Mahomes? The answer is Mahomes. And so I'm not worried about paying Mahomes. I'm more worried about the NFL adding some more randomness to the postseason by making it so if you don't have the one seed, you've got to win three playoff games just to get to the Super Bowl.
Nick, man, you are the best. Do you think, real quick, 10 seconds, when does Mahomes get paid?
Oh, hopefully this offseason, hopefully before Bill O'Brien continues to ruin salary structure for the whole league. He already reset the market on offensive linemen by letting the gas mask bomb guy out negotiate him without an agent. And he's about to give Deshaun Watson $42 million, which means you're going to have to give Patrick Mahomes $50 million, and that could be problematic. Appreciate you having me on. And shout out to the Nuggets fans out there. God willing, Nikola Jokic comes back from quarantine. He's not 400 pounds, and the Nuggets can go on a run. But I'm a little concerned about that. Thanks for having me on, guys.
And Nick, and when the Broncos get that fourth win, you come on with us the next morning, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Or if they get a tie, you got to have me on as well.
Exactly.
Right,
you did amend it. Yes, Nick Wright. Not being as harsh with the 3-13, he's actually now amended it to 3-12-1. What a guy.
That guy's a piece of work. But did I not tell you? He will be prepared.
Yeah. He will not back down. All right, we got a lot to unpack from that.
We'll all right.
Coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.